Once again, the subject this morning is peace, how to have peace on earth. And there can be so many negative things said about this world that we live in and how there is chaos and turmoil and war and so forth, and there is no peace. But this is a positive message this morning. This is how you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can indeed, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, it doesn't matter what's going on in your family. I mean, it matters to God what's going on in your family and in your personal life. But in the midst of it all, you can have peace. And we can rejoice in that today. We can be glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace and that He came to earth to bring peace and goodwill toward men. How many of you like snow? Quite a few. Okay, good. Snow is wonderful. God asked Job the question, "Hast thou considered the treasures of the snow?" There's a lot of things that you could derive from that statement, what the Lord was meaning. One of the things, of course, was His mighty and majestic power to create and to make things, and in relationship to Job, who was so tiny and so small and who needed to be totally wrapped up in the confidence of God is in control. Is what about the snow, Job? Can you make something as beautiful as that, a snow-covered field or a snow-covered city that is just glistening and white and pure? Can you do something like that? No, only God can do that. I'm amazed at how many of the Christmas cards that we receive nowadays have pictures of snow. Maybe a winter scene in a church in the background, or a farm in the background, or a beautiful covered bridge and a horse and a sleigh going through the snow. Why do they do that? Why do they use snow to picture Christmas time? Because snow is peaceful. You look at a snow-covered scene and it's a peaceful setting, amen? And so the illustration that I ran across this week, the only debate is what year this took place. Maybe Bill and Roseanne can straighten me out. But there was a year not too long ago, I don't know if you were still living in New York City, when they had the major snowstorm on Christmas Day. Do you remember that? Google says it was 2004, and another source I read said, no, it was 1996, and another source says, no, it was 1998. Nevertheless, I have several sources that agreed. Here's what happened. On this particular year, there was a rare weather phenomenon that took place affecting the entire eastern seaboard of the United States. The snowstorm brought New York City to a standstill on Christmas Day. It started 2 days before Christmas, dumping several inches of rain on Texas and Louisiana. Moving slowly northeast, it turned into freezing rain by the time it reached Memphis, Tennessee. By 1 a.m. on Christmas Eve, it was snowing heavily on the Appalachian Mountains of Western Virginia, Western West Virginia, Eastern Ohio, and Western Maryland. There was very little wind with this storm, so it was moving very, very slowly. And when a storm like that moves slowly, it dumps a lot of snow in its path. And so it was dumping heavy amounts of snow as it traveled northeastward. And by 9 a.m. on Christmas Eve, the New York City streets were peppered with millions of last-minute Christmas shoppers, even though the streets and sidewalks were already covered with about 2 inches of snow. By 11 a.m., there was 6 inches of snow on the New York City streets, and the city buses were having trouble getting around. By 1 p.m., shops were starting to close early, and the New York subway was announcing that it was closing down at 3 p.m. By 6 a.m. on Christmas Day, all the cars and vehicles left on the streets of New York City were buried in at least 36 inches of snow, and there was hardly a person on the streets anywhere. One newscaster said, "The sound of peacefulness was deafening." A major snowstorm, an act of God, brought at least a short period of peacefulness over a scene that is normally very chaotic. On Christmas Day, what does it take to bring peace on earth? Well, three things here this morning, very positive in their thought, and it all has to do with the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. First of all, there can be peace on earth because Jesus is the author of peace. Author is someone who is the originator, who brings it into existence. The author of a book is the one who brings the book into existence by putting the words on paper. The thoughts and the words are written down and he becomes the author. Jesus is the originator. He is the instigator, in one way you could think of it that way. He is the beginner, the source of the peace of God. It's only found in him. And so Jesus, God is the author of peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says. God is the author of peace. Let's turn there, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Henry Morris, who is one of the directors of the Creation Research Institute in California, he said this: our world and our natural lives seem perpetually in confusion, turmoil, and strife, and the source is the evil one, the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The only one who can bring true peace is the author of peace. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even unto sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. That's Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. God is not only called the author of peace in the scripture, he is called the God of peace. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, for example, God is called the God of peace. Joseph Excel, editor of the pulpit commentary, says the Hebrews lived during a time of political turmoil and religious persecution, but the apostle who wrote to the Hebrews directs their thoughts to the Lord that sitteth upon the flood and who will bless his people with peace. There are some very solemn passages in the book of Hebrews. Some deal with the doom and gloom of sin. And yet the writer points us to the shining radiance of the glory of Jesus Christ, and tells us how the hands of the God of peace have sealed it for the saints of God, that we shall have peace through Jesus Christ. You're familiar with the book of Philippians, which we studied verse by verse not too long ago. Philippians is the New Testament epistle of joy. Joy and rejoicing. Paul is rejoicing in his circumstances because he knows that God is in control. He knows that God is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in Philippians. And so Philippians, Paul writes to them in chapter 4, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. Do you have a hard time finding peace, especially at Christmas time? Christmas time has been called some of the brightest times of the year and some of the darkest times. It seems like at Christmas time, many souls are afflicted with all kinds of great trials and conflict, and especially painful because of some tragic loss or brokenness in a family. There will be a family member who will not be coming home for Christmas for whatever reason. And so the God of peace, it says, shall be with you. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Pour out your heart to Him. He will give you peace. He will give you peace. Jesus is the author of peace. Maybe you're having trouble finding peace because of some terrible sin that has broken your fellowship with God, and the guilt is overwhelming. It's flooding over you like a blanket of darkness. I remember a few years ago, it was right around Christmas time because it was the night that Caseysville Bible Church had gone Christmas caroling. And they came back to someone's home afterwards and they had refreshments and a time of just a time, a wonderful time of fellowship and joy. And then sometime during that night, Pastor Ben Fissler took his life. A man that, if you knew Ben, he was unusually joyful. He always had a huge smile on his face. He was always just bubbling over with joy. But I remember his dad, Brother Herm Fissler, in the funeral message saying that there was some kind of a blanket of darkness that came over Ben's life that nobody else knew about. Something that he kept within him, something that was bothering him, whether it was guilt or whether it was something that was just troubling his mind, we will never know. On this side of eternity, we may never know. But maybe there's a blanket of darkness. And that goes to show you, I wanted to say that, use that today, because I just wanted to say, you know, you never know. You never know what's going on in the life, the mind of the person sitting beside you today. They may, on the outside, they may appear perfectly, can I use the word normal, joyful, happy, everything, got everything together, everything's going swell. But on the inside, there may be a blanket of darkness. We need to be very cautious what we say to people, how we say things to people, and that we lift people up. We're to lift one another up, build each other up. We've been studying the book of Ephesians. We're to edify one another with our words. Amen. And so we're to have peace with God, the peace of God, and that can come through the author of peace, Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or completely. Sanctify means to make you clean, to cleanse you, to purify you. Whatever's in your life, God can bring it to cleanliness. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God can remove the guilt and the power of sin from your life. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to do that for each and every one of you. If there's something in your life that is a dark cloud, a dark blanket over you, there's some guilt, there's something in your life, God can cleanse that. He can take that. He can remove that from your life. He can give you peace. Paul prayed these words for the Thessalonian believers in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." How many of you have peace always? By all means. We should have. As children of God, that's a blessing that God wants to give us. That is a benefit of salvation. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Brother Don's been talking in Sunday school about the importance of guarding our mind and making sure our mind is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, not allowing sin and impurity and impure thoughts to bring guilt and condemnation into us, and allow the devil, who is the author of confusion, and the our adversary and the accuser of the brethren, to change it around and turn it around to where we feel miserable and we feel we're in a trap and we feel like Nothing is good, it is all darkness. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Can you fasten your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you place your mind on him? Can you allow this mind which is in Christ Jesus to be in you? Can you be thinking on him this Christmas season? That's the challenge. This verse has been broken down for us. Someone put it this way, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou, that's a precious God. Perfect peace, that's a priceless possession. Whose mind is stayed on thee, that's a present liberty. Because he trusteth in thee, that is a powerful faith. Amen. And so when there are major storms in our life, there is a place that we can go. Our life is hidden in Christ. We can go there in fellowship with him and confide in him and rest in him and have peace from the storms of life. When there's a major storm out on the ocean, I mean a major storm, a hurricane type gale that's thrusting the winds up 20 feet or more, tossing things back and forth, the winds are very destruction. The Navy submarines can dive to a depth called the cushion depth. The cushion depth is where they're deep enough that the submarine doesn't even feel. There's no physical effect at all on the submarine of what's going on the surface. And that's the way it is in our life. A.T. Pearson said, the peace of God that is that eternal calm which lies far too deep in the praying, trusting soul to be reached by any external disturbances can be ours through trusting in him. It can be ours through trusting in him. There can be peace on earth tonight, today. There can be for you. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. There can be peace for you because Jesus is the author of peace. And secondly, because Jesus is the way to that peace with God. The only way. The only way. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, being justified by faith. Faith is the key which unlocks the door to the room of justification, which is filled with God's peace. We know what justification is. Shall we review just a bit? Justification means to be declared righteous, to be declared innocent. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When we are believing, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith in him, we have justification. We have been justified. There is nothing that we will stand before God and be condemned for. We have peace with God. John Gill clarifies that peace with God as something that stands in clear contrast to peace with men. The world's trying to have peace with men, peace with one another, peace between nations, peace between politicians. The problem with that is that we're trying to have peace with those who are our enemies. And the unique thing about peace with God, John Gill says, is that this peace is even with him against whom we have sinned, whose law we have transgressed, whose justice we have offended. But we, by faith, have been declared innocent. We have been declared innocent. And notice this peace is not ours until we have been justified. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. Those who are unsaved, those who are still in their sins, those who have never asked God to forgive them, those who are standing outside of grace, there is no peace for them. The Bible's very clear on that. So how do we receive justification? Again, by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have justification and peace with God through Him. Romans 4, 24 and 25, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Does it sound too simple? When we say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, peace is yours if you just believe. Have faith. Reminded me of a Don Knotts and Tim Conway movie I saw a long time ago, years ago. Somewhere they had come up with a pair of handcuffs, a sheriff's handcuffs. And somehow, I don't remember the details, but Don Knotts and Tim Conway got handcuffed together. And what a dilemma. What do we do? We're in such a mess. So they tried everything. They tried putting the handcuffs on a rock, and they took a stone and tried to break the chain. That didn't work. They tried taking their knife, and all they did was dull the knife. They tried pulling between two got on each side of a post and tried to pull the cufflinks apart. They kept trying all kinds of things. How are we going to get these cufflinks off? And Tim Conway says, maybe we ought to try the key. And Don Knotts says, where are we going to get a key? And Tim reaches his pocket right here. Faith. Childlike faith. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If we have faith, we have peace with God. If we believe Him and trust Him, we can have faith with God. Faith must be placed in Jesus Christ alone. Only the key will open the door. Only the key. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There can be peace in your heart tonight. There can be peace because Jesus offers the peace of God. He is the author of it. There can be peace in your heart tonight because Jesus is the way to peace with God. And finally, there can be peace on earth because Jesus offers us that peace. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to ruin your savings account. You don't have to work for 50 years and be perfectly sinless. Jesus offers you three things here this morning about this offer of peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. We can experience it. That's a promise of God. It can be yours. You can experience it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's like salvation, isn't it? You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you do to receive a gift at Christmas time? You reach out your hand and you receive it. You take it. It can be yours. Jesus says, I'm giving you my peace. I want you to have it. I want it to be yours. It's a gift from me. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a promise of God. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. And then Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And we can experience the peace of God, secondly, when we are empowered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in us. He has taken up residence in you as a Christian. As soon as you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in. And who is He? What's His name? Comforter. He is there to comfort you, to give you what? Peace. The Holy Spirit makes sure that you have the peace of God. Each and every day that you're experiencing that, that your life is going in the direction that you will have that ruling in your heart. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye might have, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And the Holy Spirit is given to those who have overcome the world to remind them and strengthen them and encourage them every single day with the peace of God. And when we experience the peace of God and we are empowered by the Spirit of God, then we can be encouraged by the Word of God. In John chapter 20, verses 19 and 21, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst." Now remember, the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came through those doors unopened, and what did he say? He said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." And then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So twice in the same sentence, Jesus clarifies or declares that they have peace and can have peace through him. So in conclusion this morning, again, what's bothering you? What's troubling you? What's on your heart? What kind of doubts are keeping you awake at night? What kind of fears do you have when you go to bed at night that keep you awake? What kind of things cause you to feel like, is life worth living? What relationship in your life is challenged or maybe on the verge of total collapse? What is your specific barrier to peace that is robbing you of the joy that the Christmas season is all about? Very simple challenge and invitation today. Whatever it is, turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Trust him with all your cares and worries. As we studied last Sunday night in the life of the Apostle Paul, how Paul, God took care of Paul so well. He escaped the rebel forces, the mobs that were trying to kill him. God protected him, put him in protective custody. God had people in place all along the journey. Paul's life could have come to an early end, and he may have never made it to Rome to declare the gospel there, but God promised him that you would be able to go to Rome and you will declare the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rome also. And so we learned one simple truth in that message: God will take care of you. That's not only true for the Apostle Paul. That's true for every single believer. Every one of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ can claim the promise of God's peace. God's peace will be with you all. And God's peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, as we come to this point in the service today, when I think of Brother Ben Fissler, such a tragic end to a young life, and I realize, Lord, that it could be any one of us. Any one of us here today could be going through a state of despair. Any one of us could be just wallowing in guilt or afraid to go to sleep at night. Any one of us here could be under a blanket of darkness. But Lord, you've promised peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Lord, if there's someone here today who needs to trust you, help them to realize it's as simple as reaching into your shirt pocket and taking out a key that's been placed there. Because you have promised to give us the faith to believe. You have given us the gift of faith that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, He is the author of peace. He is the giver of peace. He is the source of peace. Jesus. May we, in simple faith today, Lord, come to you and say, Dear God in heaven, just give me Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.